of the riches and the amenities of the world, agriculturally having everything that at its disposal, culture, finances. If you want cultures, all you have to do is go to New York and Los Angeles, and you can see all the cultures of Broadway plays and shows. I've been told that Fort Knox is loaded with gold, all the riches, finest medicine in the world, where doctors and have been able to cure many of the diseases. But yet, God saw a nation that was warring against him because there were some other gods in the nation. Other gods that the Lord says, you cannot put those gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And so here was a nation that had been blessed, and here was a nation that God was looking at, and God sent 10 plagues to show his power over Pharaoh and Pharaoh's God, and God sent plague after plague. Blood in the Nile. Then God sent frogs. God sent lice. God sent flies and pestilence. He sent boils and hail, locusts and darkness. 3 days, or rather it could have been considered 3 nights, for there was darkness over the surface of the land. But we find this ironic, and we find it supernatural how God can, even as he's passing judgment, that was light for the Hebrews. Even when the Egyptian couldn't drink bloody water in the Nile River, the children of Israel had fresh water. So even in destructive times, even when God is judging a nation, even when God is warring against the gods of the nation, God's people will have refuge. Egypt, gods, they had water gods and sand gods and animal gods and sun gods. So God went against the gods of their country. And because God went against the gods of their country, he was saying, if your God, Egypt, has so much power, prove it. And all of their gods failed. So God increased his severity on the plagues. And finally, it was death of all the firstborn in Egypt and their animals. So God sent a plague of death. And this death came upon all the house of Pharaoh and his dynasty and his livestock. The night of the last plague was when the Passover was instituted. The Jews were to splatter blood on each side of the doors so that the death angel would pass over or pass by their homes. The people covered by the blood, not by their race of heritage, but they were covered by the blood of the Lamb. And when you are covered by the blood of the Lamb, you do know that Jesus is called the Lamb of God, who was slain from the very foundation of the world. The plan of salvation was established even in the Garden of Genesis when man first failed. And so God formulated a plan called redemption. and the redemption would cause blood to be shed. But innocent blood had to be shed, not contaminated blood. So the one who knew no sin became our sin and suffered the wrath of a sin-hating God. God hates sin, but God loves each and every one of us. And so the blood was put over the doorposts, and as it covered the doorposts, we're told even if you were an Egyptian who were visiting a Jewish home that had the blood over the doors, you were spared. And if you were a Jew without the blood, you were not. That blood covers and that blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The Passover was delivered and had delivered them from the bondage and symbolize fellowship. I heard yesterday Pastor David say that he was not overly concerned with denominations, and neither am I. But it has to do with how we as a people sometimes by denomination have separated ourselves. And I'm so glad that there is no denomination in heaven. This Passover delivered them from the bondage and symbolizes fellowship. It restructured their calendar so that this month began the year, and it was memorialized in every observance Jewish homes to this very day. Passover was also prophetic. John the Baptist introduced Jesus publicly saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who take away the sins of the world." Antioch, the Passover had two roles. A commemorative role, commemorating the deliverance from Egypt, and a prophetic role, describing the deliverance of the entire world from the bondage of sin. Here is why ancient Egypt was a type of a model of the world today. And I drew parallels because I wanted us to get the whole picture. It represented material wealth and power. It was ruled by a tyrant, authoritative prince who, as the prince of this world, a title for Satan, had committed it to fleshly wisdom and false religion. And so, when a nation has a pharaoh who will not listen to sound logical reasoning and will step on and abuse and will not hear sound decision making, then there's only one who can handle him. We don't call too many names, but God knows the name. And so, time after time, we see the atrocities of a nation of Egypt, but time after time, we see the atrocities of even this nation. And so, where do we go from here? We see what God is doing and what God is up to. For we are certainly living in prophetic day in a prophetic time. He's opening up the doors. He's revealing through his word what must surely come to pass. Revelation spoke of the seven churches: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Sardis, Thyatira, Laodicea, and Philadelphia. Not quite in that order, because Philadelphia comes before Laodicea, because Laodicea was the apostate church. And so, is it possible that we are living in a prophetic day, in a prophetic time, and an apostate church has never been a building, y'all, because the church has never been a four-structured wall. The church has been a people. And the Lord is simply saying, I'm looking at a people who have now separated themselves from me. I'm looking at a people, Antioch, who now gravitate towards the pleasures, sensualities of the world, instead of a relationship with him. Do what you want. Feel the way you want to feel. Your right is the way you perceive it. Don't matter what the Bible says. And the more we gravitate towards the world and the world ideology, we're gravitating towards the world's gods. And so God is simply saying, here am I. But even when God is judging, God is trying to save. Even in your suffering, even in all of the things that you are going through, God is trying to save. You know why? He's trying to save because God has measured in a measure of grace. God's unmerited favor. And so even when the nation of Egypt was suffering, even when they had time after time after time to repent, the Bible said that Pharaoh would say, I surrender, but he would turn back and he would war against God by not letting the children of Israel go. And so God is simply saying, I have to send a heart judgment. And sometimes that hard judgment strikes at the very core of the problem. It can strike at the core of the person, or it can strike at the core of the gods within the person. But whatever it is, God is trying to save us from ourselves. And that's the prophetic word for today. That's what God is simply saying to you and I. When you surrender, or when you give up, you're surrendering to our Lord, our God and our King. A God of victory, a God of valor, a God who looked far beyond our many faults, our frailties, and he saw our need. And our God is worthy of all praise. He is worthy of all honor, and he is worthy of all glory. I surrender and I give up. If you're here this morning and you are under the sound of my voice and something led you to surrender, maybe your life has not been the way it should be.
Thank you for tuning in to Paradise Ministries. We pray something said today has encouraged you in your personal relationship with the Lord. If you would like to have a copy of this message, you can email us at antiochmathis@bellsouth.net, or you can send a love offering of $8 to Paradise Ministry, P.O. Box 281, Woodworth, Louisiana 71485. As always, we hope to see you in church.
The Wade Hampton Show will be right back.
Too much stuff and not enough space. MiniMax Self-Storage, located at 3700 Lee Street at Industrial, offers commercial and residential space, which includes individual